We're going to speak now with someone who has spent the last month exploring a largely uncharted world, discovering some bizarre creatures that have never before been seen by humans. Dr. Tim O'Hara is a marine biologist, and we are calling him on board the research vessel known as the Investigator. Dr. O'Hara, welcome, and tell us where you are right now.
Hello, Ari. Right now, we're in the Coral Sea, which is an area of northeast Australia. People are probably familiar with the Great Barrier Reef, and we're about 100 kilometres offshore the Barrier Reef. But this is our final site, and after this, we head to Brisbane and home.
The Barrier Reef is relatively shallow. You have been exploring quite the opposite, someplace very, very deep.
That's right. That's right. Most people think of the sea as, you know, something that's surrounding the coastline. And perhaps if you're a scuba diver, you dive down to 50 metres. But we've been surveying 4,000 metres beneath the sea. So that's 2 nautical miles straight down. So it's very deep. It's a place of crushing temperatures and no light and very little food. And it's kind of one of the great extreme environments of the planet.
And yet, despite those extreme temperatures and pressure and darkness, you have found extraordinary things down there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, there's lots of amazing things. I mean, it's a completely different environment. It demands different things of the animals. There's not a lot of food, so that means everything's kind of long and jelly-like in a lot of ways. A lot of the fish look like eels, and that's because they don't need as much muscular energy to function. And a lot of animals just stay still for long periods, just waiting for prey to come along.
You've been doing this research for the last month in this abyss. How many new species do you figure you've discovered in that time?
Well, you know, that's going to take another couple of years to kind of give you a precise figure. But, you know, I think a good rule of thumb is at least a third of everything we see would be new.
Is that like dozens or hundreds or what?
Yeah, it'll be hundreds.
Hundreds of new species just in the last month?
Yeah, easily. You know, we haven't explored this environment much in the Southern Hemisphere at all. And around Australia, this is really the first dedicated trip to study the abyss. So it is really a voyage of discovery. It's quite amazing in the 21st century you can still do that. But yes, you can.
I've been following along on your blog where you have videos and photos, and there are more extraordinary creatures there than I can count. Will you tell us about one of your favorites?
Sure. I mean, I actually study a group of animals called brittle stars, and believe it or not, they dominate the deep sea, and yet hardly anyone's heard of them. So kind of they're my sentimental favorite. But, you know, there's been lots of other amazing animals. The crustaceans, you know, they've got extraordinary spines all over the bodies, and lots of the worms have paddle and hair-like structures all over them. But then there's the fish as well. They're always the outstanding favorites. You know, the tripod fish, which sort of sitting on three kind of processes coming from their fins, like a camera on a tripod. We've had faceless fish. It's a fish that almost has no eyes. The eyes perhaps are very deep. No one's really quite sure.
But because when you're in the pitch black depths of the ocean, why would you need eyes?
Exactly, exactly.
And so the mouth is on the underside of its body, so it has really no eyes. This is why it's called the faceless fish.
That's right, because really you look at this thing and it's just a kind of a round end to the animal with the mouth is underneath. And what it uses it for is sucking. So it would go along the seafloor sucking up little worms and crustaceans and shells and that sort of stuff.
Describe what you're actually doing to get these creatures.
So we're relying on a good old-fashioned, you know, metal box on the end of a very, very long rope. We have video cameras that we take down. We also have small nets to take some fish and other sort of invertebrates from the seafloor. Some people are a bit disturbed that we go in there and we're actually bringing animals back to the surface to look at, but really kind of science demands that. We really need to see animals in detail. We want to see the DNA. We need to sort of bring them to the attention of people, otherwise it's just another hidden world.
When we're talking about hidden worlds like this, it's easy for the imagination to run wild. Is there any chance that the collection techniques you're using would miss the leviathans, the fast creatures, a type of species that might not be caught in your net?
Yeah, sure, the megalodon. Yeah, I mean, all those things. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, our nets and our sleds are very small. So, yes, anything big, smart, and intelligent would just move easily out of the way. And you've got to picture it down there. You know, it's an area completely without light. No sunlight penetrates that far. And, you know, our cameras go down there, and with this huge ball of kind of iridescent light to a deep sea creature, we're the aliens, really. I'm sure the intelligent ones just swim out of the way. So, yes, maybe. Maybe there's that big monster just waiting out there. Who knows?
Well, Dr. O'Hara, congratulations, and thank you for telling us about the expedition.
And thank you for having me.
Dr. Tim O'Hara is wrapping up his month-long exploration of the abyss off Australia's eastern coast.